This morning's reading is from the letter of Paul to the Colossians, and I found it interesting that Paul never actually got to Colossae. So the word got back to him. First, people went out and told them about Christ, and then the word got back to him, and so he wrote this letter to kind of straighten things out. And it's a great message for us because it helps us even today. In the New Revised Standard, it's titled The Fullness of Life in Christ. And in the New International Version, I liked it even better because it's titled Freedom from Human Regulations Through Life with Christ. Guess I'm a rebel. Reading from Colossians 2:6-15. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. May the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Rebel Diane. You know, that the church is not a place for the perfect. It's a place for the rebels and the sinners. It's a place for people just like me and Diane and you. And we truly do commit to God. I'm glad that you added that word at the end, that God would add his blessing to the reading of his word and to the speaking now of his word. Because over the last several weeks, really since the beginning of the year, I've been talking about this whole theme that Jesus is Lord. And because Jesus is Lord, Jesus is worthy of you giving him your complete, full-hearted trust and confidence. He's worthy because 2 weeks ago, he's the one who is Lord over all creation, the whole of the created order. He's worthy because he's also Lord over the new creation, that this creation is tainted and tarnished, it's stained and it's soiled in so many ways, and it hurts and it grieves. There's fracture and friction and breakup, all kinds of things that are wrong and out of whack. But God is doing a new thing. That new thing is the new creation. Jesus is Lord over it, and he's carrying it forward to that day when it will be brought in its fullness. This morning concludes this short January series about Jesus is Lord, but I really want to look this morning about how it is that Jesus is calling you. He's calling you, speaking to you, I believe, in the Spirit, speaking to you to put your confidence and your trust in him as Lord in your life, over everything, above everything in your life. And he's doing this. I'm going to give you the three ways that I believe that this is happening, this invitation of Christ is going on. He's doing it because he's communicating, well, maybe my batteries are gone, are they? Are we? I think the batteries are gone in here, and I'm, you know, they must, oh, there we are, they're working. But I'm not working. They must be There we are. There we go. Jesus is doing this, speaking this. He's speaking a message to you. I really, you know, this is what this scripture is about this morning. And saying to you that you are accepted. You can write this down. Look this. Diane's read these verses. You can look up in your Bible at home. But Jesus has opened up a brand new way for you to know in your life that you're accepted. You're embraced. You're included. You belong. God's accepted you as His daughter and His son. In Jesus, a door has been opened up that takes everything that's wrong, everything that's out of whack, everything that's, you know, not the way that it should be, and you know what that is, and Jesus puts it right. He takes the impossible, what we think is impossible, and He turns it into God's possible in providing a way for us to be welcome, to be received. Think of that picture of the father, the parent, with the arms wide open to the prodigal, the lost son, and the return home, an adopted son and daughter of God. You know, in the Old Testament, what we read about there is that we read about this act of circumcision, and everything that circumcision represented and promised to faithful Jewish families, all of the promises of God's covenant, God never breaks. All of those promises, the acceptance, the embrace, the being included, all of that is now available to you through faith in Jesus. Verse 11, Colossians 2, when you came to Christ, when you put your faith in Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting off, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Now, you may ask, well, when did that happen? It happened when Jesus died on the cross. It happened in His death when Jesus took into Himself all of the wrong in the whole of the universe, and He died to it. He exhausted it, and He, in that, put you and put me right with God. So that when we put our trust, when you put your confidence in Jesus, all of the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross, they become realized, they become energized, they come into play, they become of consequence and benefit to you in your life. We have a word for that, a sign for that, that we use in the church. We call it baptism. Now, some of you here this morning, you may have been baptized as infants, and you didn't have a whole lot of say in having that sign. Your believing parent or parents were the ones that brought you. But what that sign represents and means is that even when you were completely unaware of it, God was in a very active pursuit of you, saying you're included, you belong, you're part, you're one of mine. But God's looking through the whole course of your childhood and maybe sometimes into adolescence, and maybe sometimes it stretches into when you're an adult, to saying, I love you, you need to respond to this. It calls us forward, is what baptism of our children represents. Some of you may have been baptized as adults, and what that means is that as you professed your faith in Christ, you were baptized as a sign of what had happened in your life, this spiritual circumcision when you believe. Verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. So the questions that come from that to me and to you this morning, do you know in your life that you've been accepted? Do you know that you're included? Do you know that you've been embraced by God and His great love for you? Sometimes I hear people answer that question by saying, well, I guess I am because I am because I'm a Christian. My parents were Christian. My family's Christian. But you know, that's not quite how it works with God. God has no grandchildren. He has children. And He's in active pursuit of us. He wants us to come to that point and place of responding to Him, to Christ personally. Sometimes I've heard others that say, well, I don't think I'm included because this whole Christian thing, I come from a different race or culture or background than that. Hey, listen, in Galatians 3:28, Jesus breaks down every wall that would separate us from each other and from God. Everyone, every single one of us can come, has this opportunity to be included and embraced, belong to God's family. I've had some folks through the years of being a pastor, not just here but in other places, say to me, you know, Pastor George, I don't think that I could ever be acceptable. I don't think there's any possibility that I could ever be included or belonged. I really see myself as disqualified because you really don't know what has happened in my life and what my life is like. But here's the word of Scripture, God's promise. The way is wide open to you as well. The way of acceptance wide open in Jesus, because no matter how far you may think yourself to be from God, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that could ever prevent you from knowing the acceptance, the inclusion, the belonging to God and to God's people. You know, do you know this acceptance? Well, you could this morning. Here, even this morning, you could put your trust, your confidence in Jesus Christ and know that you belong, you're accepted by God. There we go. I'm getting it. Somehow I'm getting it up there. But, you know, the second thing is that Jesus' invitation comes to us because he's speaking to say to us that you are forgiven. Verses 13 and 14 of Colossians 2, it says, as you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. All of the stuff that's not what it should be in our lives cuts us off. It separates us from God. But when Jesus died on the cross, God the Father took the record of all that wrong, took all the charges that were against us, not just the wrong acts, but also the stuff in the heart. You read the Sermon on the Mount and you get a real sense of the stuff that's in the heart. God took all of that spiritual sickness that's in every one of our hearts, took it all, and he nailed it to the cross. God canceled its effect. He canceled its consequence, its authority in our lives. The Gospels tell us, they have the record that when Jesus was carrying the cross and then someone had to carry it for him and he was walking along, and when he hung on the cross, Pilate nailed this sign and said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And what it is, it's a sign in that day that was ridiculing and jeering Jesus. But God has another sign that in a pictorial sense, Paul's telling us here in this letter, that God has nailed to the cross for us. It's not Pilate's sign. It's a sign that God has nailed. And that sign says, and it's for every single one of us, it says, canceled. God's wiped clean. God's erased. God's taken away all the penalty, all of the consequence of our wrongdoing, our sin, all the ways that we failed God, that we failed others, we failed ourselves. Everything that would have disqualified us from belonging, from having a relationship with God, canceled, forgiven, gone. And so the question comes again. Not only do you know this acceptance of God, but do you know, have you experienced this forgiveness of God? Have you experienced in your life God, something more than just words, okay, that God's given you a clean slate, a fresh beginning, a new start? Do you know the joy of everything that would have been wrong and just weighing down and maybe resting upon you in guilt-ridden, shame-filled kinds of ways? Do you know the joy of all that wrong being put right? You being given a fresh beginning. Well, this morning you can know that before you leave here this morning, all the old stuff taken away by the grace of God. And finally, Jesus speaks his invitation for us to put our trust and confidence in him, because he says to us, you can share in my victory over evil. When Jesus was going to the cross and he was hanging on the cross, all the powers of evil, all the demonic powers of evil were working in and through those who were around Jesus. They spit on him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. And you read that story and you have this sense of this headlong rush towards Christ. All of this evil coming straightway at him. You see, the gospel accounts tell us that the demons knew who Jesus was. Satan knows who Jesus is the Son of God. They knew who was hanging on that cross, and they thought they finally had been able to bring God down. They thought that they were on the very verge of being able to triumphantly say, evil has won, good has lost the day, love has lost the day. They thought they were the victors at that cross, that Satan wins and God loses. And yet, incredibly, everything got turned upside down. And all the humiliation and the defeat of Jesus on the cross was turned into victory. I mean, it's incredible. It's stunning what took place there. Because in his death, what Jesus did is he emptied, he exhausted, he made to be void and of no effect all of the power of sin and death and evil. And when God the Father raised the Son, God the Son, on the third day to new life, because it had been exhausted and emptied and made void of all its power and consequence in towards Christ, it had nothing left to deal with Jesus' new life. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus is really the validation. It's the triumphant sign that says God has won and evil has lost. The resurrection of Jesus is the validation, really, of the, this is so powerful, of the cancellation work of God in our lives, wiping the slate clean, giving us a new beginning. Today, we can see around us that there's a mopping up that's going on, because there's still the consequence of evil. I mean, look at the deaths in Egypt and the deaths over the weekend in Brazil. The harrowing reality of evil is still around us, but it's a mopping up exercise that's going on, because the days are numbered for the power that it has in this world. There's an end in sight. It's no longer in control. It's like D-Day, if you want to put it like that. After the Allies made the invasion into Europe, it was a sure and certain march into the end of the Second World War. At the cross, in the resurrection, there was no ability to fight back. There was no pushback against Christ. God's power, you see, is greater. And I need to get hold of that, and I believe all of us do, because Jesus faced everything there was that would have been ours to face, and he killed it. He was killed for it, but he killed it. It couldn't contain him. And what that means for you, what it means for me, and I live my days in this, okay? That whatever you're facing, whatever it is you're facing that speaks into your life something of that continuing power of evil, however your heart's been wounded, in whatever ways your life has been scarred, the scars you bear, the temptations you face, every weariness in your life that would grind you down, you need to know, I need to know the promise of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I didn't put this up on the screen for you, but you write that down. 1 John 4 and verse 4. And here's what it says. You belong to God. You have already won the victory over evil and falsehood, because the Spirit who lives in you, the Spirit of Christ, capital S Spirit, who lives in you, is greater than the small case S Spirit who's at work in this world. You know, there may be days when the power of evil that's still at work in our world scares you. Let me tell you, there's days when it frightens me. There's days when it leaves me feeling very uncertain, very unclear about what's going on, even what lies ahead. And, you know, we just have to grant that. That's the reality of the world that we live in. But I need to know this, you need to know this, that it will never destroy us. It will never win the victory over us. It can't. There's no possible way, because there's no longer any ultimate power left to evil. Jesus has defeated it. And in and through Jesus, we get to share that victory. I need to watch my time here. But, you know, I'm going to tell you this. Read my article. My article in the Flamborough Review is going to be in there this week, this Thursday when it comes out. And I'll send it out by email if you're not living in Flamborough, Waterdown, because it's Super Bowl Sunday next week. And lots of stories related to Super Bowl Sunday, but the one that I think is the best story that comes out of it all is the one about a former Baltimore Ravens player, O.J., they call him the Juice Briggins. And he's an incredible guy. I saw him two Sundays ago make the presentation, or it was last Sunday actually, make the presentation of the championship, the AFL championship trophy, to the Ravens, and he's in a wheelchair. He has ALS. No longer can speak, and his thoughts were translated for him, and he said this with an incredible infectious smile as he made the presentation. He called these players his mighty men of God. But it was a quote that he had in an article, an interview that he had when he was asked what he does when he gets discouraged. This man who has this life sentence upon him, what does he do? And he answered, "When I get discouraged, I remind myself that God will never leave me or forsake me. Every challenge and triumph in my life has prepared me to stand at this moment under the weight of this adversity." This is someone who knows that he shares, even in a wheelchair, over Jesus' victory over evil. You know, I want to close this morning. I'm going to do it very quickly. The praise team members who are here can come forward, because I want to just offer you three steps that I believe every one of us needs to take and could take, even take this morning, to embrace this gift of God, of His acceptance, of His forgiveness, and of the share that we have in Jesus' victory over evil. And the first one is this. It's simply to admit that you need Jesus' help. That's the A. You think maybe I'm going to give you an ABC? Here I am. But it's just this seeming, it's just this willing, humble admittance. God, I need your help. One of the early church fathers, Augustine, said this of his sin: "My sin was all the more incurable because I did not think myself a sinner." He didn't think at one point that he needed God's help. But it happens, first of all, when we just make this admission: God, I can't live this life on my own. I need your help. And secondly, it is B, to believe that Jesus died to offer you the acceptance and the forgiveness and the share in His victory over sin and death and evil. This believing is more than just a mental assent. Really, this believing comes from the heart. It's putting your trust, putting your confidence in what Jesus has done for you. And C is committing your way, your life, to following Jesus as Lord over everything. It's what I've been talking about through these weeks. But, you know, this ABC that I'm giving you is not something that any one of us, and I include myself here, we cannot do this on our own. I need you. You need me. We all need each other. If we're going to see the kind of serious and lasting D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, all the way to Z kind of growth, in our lives, in growing in Christ. You know, following Jesus is so much more than playing a game of solitaire. Okay? Cannot simply do it on our own. I think of it like this. Following Jesus is like a card party. It takes a group that's working together, that's learning together, that's growing together, that's looking out for each other, that's looking after each other. You know, if over the last 3 weeks, if even this morning, you've been sensing in some way, whatever kind of a way, you've been sensing God speaking to you and saying, yes, it's time. It's time for me to take that next step. I've got to move beyond where I find myself right now. I want to offer you the opportunity to do that. You see, committing to let Jesus be Lord over all, to be Lord over everything in your life, means your willingness to be known as a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, a learner of Jesus. And I'm going to start something in February, and I guess what I would call it would be that we're going to have learning parties. We're going to have following parties. And what this is going to be all about is an opportunity. If you're sensing it, you want to take this next step. What does it really mean for me to take steps in committing my life to Jesus as Lord over all, Lord above all, Lord over everything in my life? We're going to give that kind of opportunity. Now, if the daytime works best for you, we'll have daytime learning parties. If the evening works best for you, we'll have evening learning parties. No solitaire. We'll be working together, caring for one another, looking out for each other, looking after each other in our moving forward as followers of Jesus. Let's pray. And then after we pray, we're going to sing Amen. And what that song is all about, that word, you know what it means. It means yes. It means saying yes to needing God's help. It means saying yes to putting your faith and trust in Christ. It means saying yes to Jesus being Lord over everything in your life. Let's pray together. Lord God, this is more than a song that simply ends a service. This is truly a song of response. That as your word has been read by Diane this morning, and as by your grace I've been able to speak this message, as you've been speaking through both into our lives, we're not here this morning to say no. We're here with your help to say yes, to say amen to this work of your Spirit in our lives, calling us forward in our faith, our trust, our confidence in Jesus as Lord. Let it all be to your honor and your glory. Amen.